السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So he continues, Imam Muhasibi is talking about Nasiha. Umar, he said, رضي الله عنه, لا خير في قوم ليسوا بناصحين ولا خير في قوم لا يحب الناصحين. And why is there no good in a people who don't accept advice? Because this is one of the characteristics of a people that Allah Ta'ala damned in the Quran. This is the characteristics of a people that Allah Ta'ala has damned in the Quran. People who don't love those who give sincere advice. So Allah Ta'ala says in His Quran, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَقَدْ أَبْلَغْتُكُمْ رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّ النَّاصِحِينَ. He said that he turned away, referring to the Prophet Salih. He turned away from them and he said, Oh my people, I have done my utmost to deliver the message of my Lord to you, and I have given you sincere advice. However, you do not love those who give sincere advice. And then Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. So this is the characteristic of a people whom Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has destroyed. That the people don't love those who give sincere advice. So we pray that Allah Ta'ala opens our hearts up so we can give and take sincere advice. وَأَثْرِ الصِّدْقَ فِي كُلِّ مَوْضِعٍ تَغْنَمْ. And always prefer the truth in every situation, and you will be the one that takes the booty, or takes benefit with little exertion. Taghnam literally means to take benefit or to gain something without a great amount of exertion. So we should always put the truth before and front. وَأَتَعْزِلِ الْفُضُولَ تَسْلَمْ. And move away from excessiveness and you will be safe. And we mentioned last night, it was mentioned by Sheikh Hussein, and we mentioned the saying of Ibrahim al-Nakhai, halaka man halaka qablakum bil thalathi qisal, fudul al-kalam wa fudul al-ta'am wa fudul al-manam. The people who were ruined before you were ruined because of three characteristics: too much talking, too much eating, and too much sleeping. So he says, move away from excessiveness and you'll be safe. So don't eat excessively, you're safe, your health will be preserved. Don't talk excessively and your heart will be preserved. And your hisab, your scale of good deeds will be preserved. What takes away the hasanat faster than anything? The ruinations of the tongue. So you preserve your good deeds by not talking too much. And don't sleep too much, and your worship will be preserved. What causes you to lose the opportunity to worship? Sleeping. So you slept through night prayer, went right to bed after Fajr, slept through this early morning time when there's great blessings for the Ummah, etc. So we have to cut down on the sleeping. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَالْبِرُّ يَهْدِي إِلَى رِضَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَالْفُجُورَ يُورِثُ سَخَطَ اللَّهِ. And there's a hadith to this effect with slightly different wording. He says, because verily, honesty leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And lying leads to licentiousness, and licentiousness leads or brings about the anger of Allah. وقال عبد الله ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما لا تتكلم فيما لا يعنيك ولا تماري سفيها ولا حليما واذكر أخاك بما تحب أن تذكر به. ابن عبد الله ابن عباس رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, only talk in those things that concern you. So what concerns us? That which has what we call maslaha fihi, al kalam fihi, maslahatun shar'iyya. That which has a sanctioned benefit in the sharia. If our speech doesn't have a benefit, we should remain silent. The asl or the origin is silence. And you only go away from the asl lil haja, for a reason. So if there's no reason, we should remain silent. So to give advice, to help teach something, and it's also a reason to cheer up people. So you see your brother or sister is obviously depressed and you just sit there because you don't want to talk excessively. But cheering up your brother and sister is a reason to talk. This is a shar'i reason to talk. You know, it's not that bad. You know, tell a light joke. The Prophet told jokes, but he never lied to tell a joke. He never lied to tell a joke. So he would joke with his sahaba sometime. Otherwise, the mood would become too tense and too thick. And you see this. Some groups, they get together and it's all business and nothing to lighten the mood. So they're walking around either scowling and grimacing and biting their miswaks in half. Or snap. Or they're just totally some solemn, and everyone is just solemn into oblivion. So we have to lighten up. The Prophet ﷺ lightened the mood sometimes. And there are many hadith to this effect. You know, he played with his wives. He wrestled with, not wrestled. He had races with them. He had races with them. And he amused them, and with his sahaba, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's the best of examples, the best of guides. And most of the greatest shuyukh, you'll find that they have a sense of humor. And believe me, ask people, you'll find they have a sense of humor. Because this gives benefit. But it shouldn't go to an extreme of being silly and giddy and frivolous. That's what's unacceptable in Sharia. So he said, don't speak in matters that don't concern you. So what concerns us? Conveying benefit, Islamically sanctioned benefit. That's what concerns us. The affairs of our deen, giving sincere advice. Other than that, it doesn't concern us. وَلَا تُمَارِي سَفِيهًا وَلَحَنِيمًا. And he says, don't argue with fools nor with forbearing people. Because in both cases, you're wasting your time and your word. By arguing with a fool, he doesn't comprehend the argument. So he's drawing you in and in, deeper and deeper and deeper, into a maze that has no end. Because he's a fool. His mind doesn't work rationally. So you're arguing, no, it's like this, and he doesn't understand. Really? It's like that? How could it be like that? Because that's the way it is. I'll show you 10 proofs that it's like that. First of all, if you look at the logical coordinates between these two points, you can see that only a straight line can connect them. He's like, well, I see a crooked line. And he's a fool. You're wasting your time. And don't argue with the forbearing person, because a forbearing person can take a lot of abuse. So they'll just listen to you and smile. You know, it's like this, alhamdulillah. And so you're wasting your time. So don't argue with the safih, and don't argue with halim. And the halim is forbearing, the safih of food. وَذْكُرْ أَخَاكَ بِمَا تُحِبُّ أَن تُذْكَرَ بِهِ. And only mention your brother with that which you yourself would love to be mentioned with, in ways you would love to be mentioned. Don't talk about people in negative ways, and don't say things about people that you would not like to be said about yourself. Someone has lost their glasses, they're rather sporty. I will not put them on, but if they look familiar, claim them. Allah. He said, wa'alam, wa'amal. عمل رجل يعلم أنه مجازا مجازا بالإحسان. And work the action of a person that knows he will be rewarded with good. هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان. Can the reward of good ever be anything other than good? So everything you do, know that there's a good reward. Don't get like in caught up in the game of response. Stimuli, you know, they gave me a present, I'll give them a present.
You give a present because you know you're getting a reward for that. Some Christians, and I know because I used to be one, they have a list at Christmas time. And they go, who sent me a card last year? And they check off and they send that person a card. You know, Smitty sent me a card. Okay, Smitty. Jones didn't send a card. Jones, no card for Jones, no card. And who gave me a gift? No, I'm not exaggerating. You know, talk to some people. This is how they do this. But a Muslim is Kareem because Allah Ta'ala is Kareem. And we want to reflect the attributes of Allah that have a human reflection. We'll never attain to these attributes, but we reflect their meaning. So what is Kareem? Kareem means someone who gives without a consideration as to whether the person being given deserves it or not. And this is how Allah gives to us. He gives to us, we don't deserve anything we get. But Allah doesn't consider that. He gives freely from His bounty. So we should be Kareem. We shouldn't think, do they deserve this? We give expecting a reward from Allah. So He says, work the action of a person who knows that he's going to be recompensed with good. And the recompense comes from Allah, not from this one, that one, or the other. So we give, and this is how the Prophet ﷺ was. He said he gave more freer than the wind. The wind just blows the bounties and spreads the seeds. And since how did vegetation end up on the Hawaiian Islands? The Hawaiian Islands are the most remote place on the face of the earth. Right out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The furthest point from any settled landmass, major landmass on earth. You never know if you went there today. And they were formed by volcanoes erupting. So the volcanoes came from beneath the sea and at a certain point rose above the surface of the sea, solidified, but it was a barren rock. But Allah, through the wind, the currents of the sea, and the winds, He blew seeds, and He deposited seeds, and then the flowers and vegetation, they all came, and we had this very beautiful place. So the wind just gave freely, but the Prophet ﷺ gave more freer than the wind. They said no one ever asked Him for anything except that He gave it. And there are many instances of this. So this is how we should strive to be. And why? Because He knows His Allah, His reward's from Allah. And we should approach life like that. مَأْخُوبٌ بِالْإِجْرَامِ. And that they will be taken to account for any crimes that they commit or transgressions. وَأَدَمْ شُكْرَكْ. And be constant in your shukr. Our shukr should be constant. Because the more consistent we are in giving thanks, which is shukr, the more Allah Ta'ala increases us in His blessings. وَلَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you give thanks, I will increase you. This is the word of Allah. وَلَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. So we should always be giving thanks. And this keeps us, this keeps our spirits high. We're thanking Allah. We don't look at the negative. We're thanking Allah, anticipating an increase. So we don't have time for negativity. وَقْصُرْ مِنْ أَمَلِكَ. And cut short your aspirations. What is your hopes? What does this mean? It means don't expect that you're going to live a long time. So I have hope I'll live long. I'll go to Hajj when I'm 50. Who says you're going to make it to 50? You know, I'll start praying to Hajj when I graduate college. Because, you know, right now I have to use that time to study. Study with a niyyah that you're going to benefit the Muslims, and this is tahajjud, this is qiyam al-layl, not tahajjud, qiyam al-layl. So you spend your night in studying, whatever you're studying, fi sabilillah. So the niyyah transforms ordinary acts, al-adat, into worship, al-ibadat. So you're up studying every night, make a niyyah, oh Allah, I intend through this to benefit the ummah, to make a positive contribution to strengthen Islam through this science that I'm studying, through this course of study I'm engaging in. Please accept this from me. So now that becomes ibadah. So that's qiyam al-layl. So but the point, don't have long aspirations. You know, I'll start wearing, I'll grow a beard when I retire. because right now it might ruffle feathers in the corporate offices. No, just call up care and don't worry about it. You know, grow your beard and call care. They'll do the rest. So don't have long hopes. You know, I'll wear hijab when I get married. No, you might not get married if you don't start wearing hijab. Most good brothers are looking for a pious sister, so they won't even look at you. Like, well, so no one notices me. Put on hijab, you'll get noticed. No, brother, who's the sister over there with the nice hijab on? So don't have long hopes. Wazin al-kubur, wazur al-kubur bihamnik, and visit the graves with your seriousness and your concern for the akhirah, so that you take a lesson from the dead. We should visit the graves. Go to the Muslim cemetery. Visit the Prophet ﷺ visited the graves. This isn't some kind of innovation or something, or grave worshipping. This is the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. He would go out to visit the martyrs of Uhud. And he would visit the other Muslims. So this is a practice, and this softens the heart. And this reminds us of our death. We should wash our own bodies. As soon as the family should wash the bodies of their dead. The oldest male heir should perform the janazah prayer, not the imam. So all of these things, the family, they should put the body in the grave. The parents should wash their children. Their children died. The parents should wash the body. So all of these remind us about death. So we said, like, the way things are structured here distances the realities of life from us. We don't think about death because we never see a corpse. You know, someone dies, you call up the morgue and they come, truck them off to the morgue, and you're not involved in the process. And Muslims were like that, call up the janazah team in the masjid. We should all be the janazah team. So someone dies, call the janazah team, you know, we have a death, and the imam prays the janazah. This is for the family to do, and the body washers wash the body. This is for the family to do these things, so that we're all reminded of death constantly. And it's a reality. And this is how a lot of people were in past times. The death was a reality, and they realized it's just an extension of life. It's not some abstraction, but it's a reality. But how do we make this a reality? By keeping it before us. And how do we keep it before us? Visiting the graves and reflecting on the time when we'll be in the grave. And this is the next point he says, وَجُولْ فِي الْحَشْرَ بِقَلْبِكَ. He says, roam around the gathering place after the resurrection in your heart. And he wrote a book dealing with it called Tawahum. We mentioned in the introduction at Tawahum that you imagine that you're there. So close your eyes at night sometimes and think of your death, and you're being brought out of the grave, and then you're assembled and the sweat is rising up to people's chests and their necks and their chins, and the accounts are being read and what your account will be. Think about this and try to imagine it, because this impresses the reality of it on your heart. So it doesn't become, it's not a mere abstraction that, well, we believe in the afterlife, but we never really thought about it. And a lot of Muslims nowadays, we're not really thinking about it. And we're not washing bodies. And we're not putting people in the grave. So as a result, we're not visiting the graves. I bet if we took a survey, most people who are from this city don't even know where's the Muslim cemetery. We don't even know where they take the dead people when they die. Most of us. So we should find out and then go visit those Muslims and make prayer for them. And this is a reminder. And visit the place of, think about the resurrection. Imagine that you're there. وَقَالَ أَبُو ذَرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ اعْمَلْ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. He said, work as if you see, as if you see Allah. And we said, this is ihsan. تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. worship Allah as if you sing. And there's no physical singing. This isn't a physical singing. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "كَأَنَّكَ as if you see him." كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. So this is a seeing in the heart, not in the with the eyes. No one sees Allah in this world. The seeing of Allah will be in the hereafter. And this will be the greatest bliss in Jannah, to see Allah. However that will be. As Allah Ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ. Those who do good. So this is the ihsan, those who have ihsan. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ. They will have husna, they will have good, which is the Jannah, وَزِيَادَ. And all of the mufassirun, they say, الزِيَادَ رُؤْيَةِ اللَّهِ, the seeing of Allah. So this will be the increase that they'll be given. This will be the ultimate delight in the Jannah, to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray that we have this. وَعُدَّ نَفْسَكَ فِي الْمَوْتَى. And consider yourself amongst the dead. Because our death has already been decreed. So we should act like that. Allah Ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. That you are, this has two meanings. That you're going to die, and they too are going to die. Or that you're already dead, because this is ism al-fa'il, but fi sighat al-mubalagha, but the ism fa'il, it indicates the meaning of the hal of something that's occurring right now. Right now. So, in other words, you're as good as dead. It's as if you're dead right now. So we're all dead. Our death has been decreed. None of us is going to escape death. So, and our death is imminent. We don't know when it's going to occur. Imam Ghazali, in one of his books, he says, Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, he says, humanity is, imagine that we're all lined up shoulder to shoulder like a prayer line, in this infinite line. And then we're all marching forward in total darkness. And in front of each of us is a hole, a deep hole. And so we're marching forward and we don't know when we're going to fall into these holes. Some of the holes are close, some are distant. So he says that the distance between us and the hole, this is our lifespan. And this darkness is the world. We don't know when, as we move through this world, we're going to fall into that hole. But we're all going to fall in. So as we all move, we're all just falling in the holes at various times as we collectively advance. So the hole has already been dug. Our death has already been determined. And we don't know when we're going to fall in. We're in total darkness. But at any moment, we're moving, we're in the hole. And the hole is our grave. And it comes with our death. So that hole is out there, brothers and sisters. And we're moving towards it. And the next step, boom, that's it. So we have to prepare for that and keep this live before us. So he says, consider yourself, وَعُدَّ نَفْسَكَ فِي الْمَوْتَى. Consider yourself amongst the dead. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الشَّرَّ لَا يُنْسَى. And know that any wickedness that you do will not be forgotten. Allah Ta'ala, everything is remembered with Allah. وَالْخَيْرَ لَا يَفْنَى. And that any good you do does not fade away. It lasts. الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. The lasting good that you send forward for yourself. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ قَلِيلًا يُغْنِيكَ خَيْرٌ مِّن كَثِيرٍ يُلْهِيكَ. And know that a little bit which benefits you is better than a lot which preoccupies you from getting on with your work. So even, for example, if we assume watching television is mubah, permissible, we say for the sake of argument, it's not haram, it's permissible. It's not makruh. It's permissible. There's no exposed aura. There's no semi-nude human beings. There's no foul language. There are no murders, etc. So all of the, and when it's not permissible for us to watch a murder on television, because we're not our eyes are not supposed to be used to witness rebellion against the law. We don't sit and watch people drink alcohol, fornicate. We turn our eyes away, murder people. This is improper, but let's say none of that goes on. So we spend hours and hours and hours. It doesn't benefit us in any way, assuming there's no bad. There's no benefit. There's no benefit. So this is a lot, yulhina, but it's turned us away from hours that could have been spent reading Quran. So as opposed to 4 hours of television, we read 4 pages of Quran, which takes us maybe 10-20 minutes. Those 10 minutes have benefited us more than the 4 hours. Because every harf, every letter we read from Quran is multiplied 10 times. Al-hasanat bi-ashri amthaliha. So every letter we read has been multiplied 10 times, and we're reading sentences and words and pages. So look at the ajr. So he says, a little bit that benefits you, that enriches you, is better than a lot that just preoccupies you. Taking time to come to these sessions. So taking a weekend from your life, from 52 weekends, is better than 52 weekends that you did nothing to benefit yourself. The one weekend is better. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the leave of Allah. وَإِيَّاكَ وَدَعْوَةً مَظْلُومٌ, and beware of the prayer of the oppressed, that the oppressed people pray against you. And this is one reason we should make da'wah in this country, and to oppressed people. So they say, you know, those Muslims are no good either. May Allah destroy them. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Why? Because the oppressed person has... Why is the prayer of the oppressed so powerful? One of the most critical conditions to our prayer being accepted is ikhlas. And ikhlas is that whatever we do is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as long as a person can rely on human beings, then part of his prayer might be lack of ikhlas because he thinks so-and-so can help me, so-and-so. But the oppressed person has given up help and being helped, given up hope of being helped by human beings. No one thinks about me, no one considers me, no one looks at me. So this is the oppressed. So when that person takes his plea to Allah Ta'ala, it's totally for Allah. There's nothing for human beings. So that's why his prayer is so powerful. So that's why we're warned by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لِيَاكُمْ وَدَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ, beware of the prayer of the oppressed person. ثُمَّ رُمَّ جِهَازَكَ, and then repair, overhaul your equipment. Yani overhaul your equipment. What is that? Repair all of those things you need to get to the Akhirah. Put your salat in order. Put your ibadah in order. Put your tongue in order. Put all these things, overhaul everything. It's like the ship, it's rusted, holes in it, patch the holes. You know, repair the hull. Tune up the engine, because we're getting ready to go on this journey. So he says, overhaul your equipment. ثُمَّ رُمَّ جِهَازَكَ. Put your equipment in order. وَفْرُغْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, and then take abundant provision for this journey. And the best provision, وَخَيْرَ ذَاتِ التَّقْوَى, is piety. Because this journey is long. وَكُنْ وَصِيَّ نَفْسِكَ وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الرِّجَالَ أَوْصِيَاءَكَ. He says, and you be the executor of your soul. The wasi is the one that executes the will. So he says, and don't make men your executors. In other words, take ultimate responsibility for your fate. Don't rely on the sheikh. The sheikh can help you, but you're ultimately responsible. You're going to stand before Allah by yourself. The sheikh isn't going to be there. Everyone's going to be an individual. So a person, he's relying on the sheikh, and he wants the sheikh to work magic, and he doesn't do anything.
He said, no, you make yourself the executor. You take ultimate responsibility, because as mukallaf, being religiously responsible, each and every one of us is ultimately responsible. So, you know, the Shaykh never told me not to backbite. The Shaykh never told me to make tahajjud. Take responsibility for your own affair. Then you'll benefit from the Shaykh. But if you don't do anything, don't expect the Shaykh to take you to the promised land, and you won't even walk on your own two feet. And the people that, you know, don't have a Shaykh, then you start doing the things. You have the basic. Make sure you're praying all of your fara'id and praying your nawafil, and you're engaging in some dhikr based on what? From the prophetic awrad and adhkar. The Prophet said, you said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you say this in the morning 10 times, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahu mulku wa lahu alhamd biyadihi alkhayr wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, it's like you liberated 10 slaves from the progeny of Ismail. So what stops you from saying that? This is from the Shaykh al-Shuyukh, the Shaykh of all the Shaykhs, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's like the guy that wants to be the boxing champ. So he sits back and watches television all day and eats junk food. Just whatever they call it, channel searching, just bopping the 100, 300 channels that are now piped into his home, eating popcorn. So he goes to the trainer and he's fat and out of shape, can barely, I want to be the champ. And the trainer looks at him, I don't know, kid. I'll try. But then there's another guy, he wants to be the champ. So before he goes through the train, he's jumping rope and he's on a strict no-fat diet. And he's lifting weights and doing chin-ups and push-ups and really practicing and hitting. He buys a heavy bag. Then he goes through the trainer, he's lean and mean. You know, I want to be the champ. And the trainer's eyes lights up. Yeah, kid, I'll make you the champ. You can do it. Yeah, we're going to go a long way together. You got great promise. So, because this person has done something, and it's the same thing. Don't be like the first guy, I'm going to get the Shaykh, and the Shaykh's going to take me to Allah. And you're like the guy eating popcorn. Be like the second person. You're doing your prayers, and you're standing up at night, and you're asking Allah to guide you and bring you a person to benefit you, and you're reading your Quran every day. That's like the second guy. Then when you meet the Shaykh, he knows, alhamdulillah, you know, you don't need me, you're already there. Ma'salama. So, be like that guy. And don't be like the first guy. Make you be the executor of your affair, of your soul. Don't make men your executors. This means, don't think, turn away from benefit, no. But take ultimate responsibility. Waqil amrak, and approach your affair with your intellect. Don't respond emotionally. Don't rush into things emotionally, especially with your deen. Use your intellect. Think about the consequences of what's going on in your life. Watayaqqad min sinatik, and wake up from your slumber. That sina in ayatul kursi is mentioned. No sleep. Sinatun wala nawm, no slumber nor sleep. Wake up from your slumber, which means what? Think about things based on the reality of the situation. The haqiqah, the reality of the, assess your situation realistically. This is what it means to wake up from your slumber, that this world is temporary and it's only something that I use to get to Allah. It's not an end. So that's when a person realizes that he or she is waking up from their slumber. Otherwise, we're just stumbling through the world, going from this fad to that fad, or from chasing this thing or that thing. We're sleepwalking. So we should wake up. And when we wake up, so a sleepwalker or someone stumbling is walking without purpose or direction, is drifting around here, there, going in circles. I've been here before. Oh, this looks familiar. And you're going in circles. When you wake up, you go straight. Ah, There it is. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. There it is. And boom, you start moving out because you've woken up from the slumber. فَإِنَّكَ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ عُمْرِكَ, because you are responsible for your lifespan. You are responsible for your lifespan. Allah Ta'ala gives it to us and we have to answer to Him for it. We are mas'ool. We're going to be asked, literally. And we have to give account. And being responsible means seeking out sincere advice. Sitting in the company of righteous people. Getting the help from the ulama and the scholars and the shuyukh, etc. But ultimately, we're responsible for this life. Qala Abu Umamata radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, لَا عَقَلَ ابْنُ آدَمَ عَنْ رَبِّهِ كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ مِنْ جِهَادِهِ. He said that if the servant truly reflected on his Lord, it would be better for him than his jihad. As they say, the contemplation of a moment is better than 70 years of worship. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مَنْ جَعَلَ هَمَّهُ الْآخِرَةَ كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَ دُنْيَاهُ. And know that the person that makes his ultimate concern his hereafter, Allah suffices him in his dunya. And this is why the Sahaba got the world. They wanted Allah, so Allah gave them the world and the akhirah. And when the Muslims started wanting the akhirah, Allah took away the world and the akhirah. So they say the dunya, to leave it is to take it, and to take it is to leave it. To leave it is to take it. Turn away from the world, Allah will suffice you and give you what you, everything you need from the world. And chase after the world, Allah will take it from you. So it's taking it is in leaving it, and it's leaving it is to take it. So we should try to understand this. كَمَا ذُكِرَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الْمَرْوِيِ, as it's been related in a hadith. He said, تَفَرَّغُوا تَفَرَّغُوا مِنْ هُمُومِ الدُّنْيَا مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Turn away from being overly concerned with the dunya as much as possible. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّهِ أَفْشَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ دَيَّعَتَ. He says, because the one who makes the dunya his ultimate concern, Allah will multiply the things that lead, that preoccupies him from his deen. And so the more we chase the dunya, the more preoccupations come. So, you know, I need an extra job so I can get a better car. Your car is fine, but I need a better one. So you get an extra job. Now that extra job is into new relationships with co-workers, new complications at home with your family or husband or wife and children. So now all these preoccupations of the dunya are multiplied, new entanglements. And so it's not just 4 hours out of your time, because the extra part-time job is 4 hours a day. Now you have to prepare for it. You have to go home, change clothes. Now you have to shop more because you need two wardrobes, because you work in two different settings and not one anymore. And this one needs a wardrobe, that one needs a wardrobe. Now, because you're not home, you have to take the kids to another babysitter. That involves time. So all of these complications is pile up and pile up. So, and this is what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّهِ أَفْشَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ دَيْعَتَهُ. The one who makes the dunya his ultimate concern, Allah spreads out. تَفَشِّي is to spread out. We say تَفَشِّي الْمَرَضِ فِي جَسَدِهِ, that the disease spread out throughout his body. So it will spread out the things that preoccupy and take his time. وَجَعَلَ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَنَيْهِ, and Allah will set his poverty up before his very eyes. In other words, he won't be able to escape his needs, because by chasing it more, Allah will make him need more and more and more and more and more. وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ أَكْبَرَ هَمِّهِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَمْرَهُ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَمْرَهُ. And the one who makes the akhirah his greatest concern, instead of spreading out his preoccupations, Allah will bring them together into one, and that one concern will be his hereafter, his akhirah. وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ, and Allah will make his wealth in his heart. So he won't need the dunya. He'll be wealth because his heart will be enriched, or her heart will be enriched. So he or she won't need the dunya. Whatever Allah blesses them with is sufficient. وَمَا أَقْبَلَ عَبْدٌ بِقَلْبِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلَّ إِلَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَنْقَادُ إِلَيْهِ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالْمَوَدَّةِ. And no servant approaches Allah with his heart, with sincerity and honesty and truthfulness, except that Allah Ta'ala makes the hearts of the believers inclined towards him with mercy and love. So these are the consequences of turning away from the dunya, meaning not being preoccupied with it in our heart. And if Allah gives it to us, we don't reject it. We give our thanks for it and use it within the limits of Sharia. وَحْذَرْ يَا أَخِي الْمِرَاءَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Now he enters into another subject. He says, beware, my brother, of disputing and arguing concerning the Qur'an. Is the Qur'an created or not created? Is the Qur'an, which is one meaning, or using some parts of the Qur'an to dispute concerning other parts. They say, you hit some part of the book with other parts. So all of this should be avoided. وَالْجِدَالَ فِي الدِّينِ, and arguing in deen. As we said earlier, قُلُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. The truth is from your Lord. Whoever desires, let him believe. Whoever desires, let him reject faith. We present the truth, and we present it in the best ways, and we present it with the best proofs. But then the people accept it or reject it. We don't argue and dispute and end up fighting each other and denigrating each other. So this is the way of the early Muslims. And it was a sign of their sincerity. And a sign of insincerity sometimes is to assume that the way we see it is the truth, so we have to bludgeon everyone else into submission to accept that from us. He says, and beware also, وَالْكَلَامَ فِي الْتَحْدِيدِ, mentioning Allah in physical terms. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing is like unto Allah, but we confirm every name and attribute he affirms for himself. But he is the hearing, the seeing. So we affirm sight and hearing and any other attribute that comes through the book of Allah, through the sunnah of his messenger, we affirm it. But we don't talk about Allah in physical terms. And so this is what it says, al-kalam fil tahdid, that Allah has physical limits, which means he has a shape or a form that's readily perceivable or can be imagined. They say, كُلُّ مَا خَطْرَ فِي بَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ خِلَافُ ذَلِكَ. Anything that can come to your imagination concerning how Allah is in opposition to that. So we should be mindful of this and don't mention Allah in these terms. But we, on the other hand, we affirm what Allah Ta'ala has affirmed for himself. And this is the safe aqidah of our predecessors. وَقُلْ مِنَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا, and this is in the Ahlul Kalam wa Ahlul Athar. This is not just something, a principle developed by the Mutakallimeen. Imam Tahawi says in his aqidah, تَعَالَى وَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَنِ الْحُدُودِ وَالْغَايَاتِ, that Allah is above any physically limiting descriptions. This is Imam Tahawi. Imam Ahmed, and this is mentioned by Imam Maqdisi in Nu'mat al-I'taqad, which is a book of Athar, and related from Ibn Jawzi in his Manaqib Imam, Imam Ahmad, and in other sources, when he was asked about these hadith and ayah mutashabih, amanna bihi, we believe in them, bila kayf, without knowing how that is, and he says bila ma'na, and without knowing what it means in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does hand or wedge or face or all of this mean in relationship to Allah, we don't know what it means. Bila ta'til wa bila tashbih, without rejecting it, saying, well, it can't be. We can't affirm this for Allah. And this is what the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah did. They just rejected it altogether. We can't affirm this for Allah, because that would be tashbih. Without tashbih, without making likenesses and similitudes. And then he said, bila had wa la ghaya, and without any physical limitations or any extent or limiting physical extents. So this is, these are from the people of Athar. So this is not just the position of the mutakallimin or the speculative theologians. This is also from the people who rely on transmitted evidence. So this is agreed upon by the Muslims. And someone who goes away from this, they're innovating something that's very dangerous. Well, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we convey the truth in this matter, because mistakes in these matters are deadly. Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, he said, if you make a mistake in a hukum, then maybe someone will do something silly. They'll be praying in a strange way. But you make a mistake in aqidah, someone might go to hell. So there's a tremendous difference between the two. So for this reason, we should be extremely cautious to even open our mouth without really thinking about and reflecting on and knowing what we're saying.
وَكُمْ مِنَ الَّذِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِيهِمْ وَإِذَا قَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا.
And be amongst those who, when the ignorant address them, they say peace. Because it's the ignorant who are going to pull us into arguments and disputes and deen. Ignorant people are going to do this. So instead of, as we say, don't argue with fools and don't argue with forbearing people. And so when these people say something, instead of trying to convince them with arguments they can't even comprehend, just say salam, peace. Alhamdulillah. Salaamu alaikum. And that might wake them up. Say, wow, that person must really know something because he didn't argue with me.
Wilzim al-adab. And always adhere to the manners associated with everything. Everything we do has this adab.
There's adab for studying, adab for teaching, adab for learning. Everything has its adab, and we should always adhere to the adab in things. Inshallah, we're going to take a big break at 12:30, so we'll take a small break right now, and then for 3 or 4 minutes, then we'll continue until 12:30. So we pray, may Allah reward you for your patience and your perseverance, and make this a benefit. So a quick 2-3 minute stretch break, inshallah.